Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Gail Martin and Carol Kelly. Each week, the ladies will bring you gardening and planting ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies, and habitats, and great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Carol Kelly.
Hello again, everyone. Researching today's episode became a trip down the rabbit hole for me. A fascinating one, rather like what happened when Alice took those tentative bites of mushrooms, as you soon will see. As I expect many of our listeners have done recently, I was putting decorations on our Christmas tree. While a number of the baubles held meaning only within our family, many items are similar to those that have been used traditionally for centuries round the world. As I considered these in the latter category, one in particular stood out, the mushroom that has a red cap dotted with white spots. This is the fly Amanita, or Amanita muscaria, and I wonder how many of our listeners have such a mushroom ornament on their Christmas tree and know how it became a holiday symbol. So for today's segment of In the Green Outdoors, I decided to explore a brief history of its use, which turned out to be not so brief. Many historians agree that the figure of Santa Claus can be traced back to a monk named Nicholas of Myra. He was a bearded 4th century Greek Christian who would go about giving gifts to the needy. This also is presumably the model for the Dutch Sinterklaas, the patron saint of children. This fellow wore a red cape and rode around on a white horse visiting children on the feast day of St. Nicholas, December the 6th. Dutch immigrants to America in the 1700s slowly transformed this figure into our modern-day Santa. Okay, but what has a mushroom to do with Christmas? And why this particular mushroom, the pattern and colors of which are echoed in the caps of gnomes, elves, dwarves, brownies, smurfs, fairies, and other such mythical creatures? It's there in the clothing and hats of the various versions worldwide of jolly old Saint Nick himself, and the similar Christmas folk, representatives of European countries. In England, it's Father Christmas. France has Père Noël. Germany, Weihnachtsmann. In the Netherlands, Sinterklaas. In Sweden, Tomte, or Jultomten. Let's look far back in time at the shamanistic rituals of the peoples of the far northern climes. Old Nordic shamanism was associated closely with Odin, also called Wotan, and resembled the shamanism of the Lapps and ancient Finnish peoples. In many mythologies, storm and thunderstorm gods are associated with the fly agaric mushroom, perhaps because the pyrotechnics of the outer natural world may be triggered by the hallucinatory mushroom flight within the mind caused by this mushroom. According to many researchers, the flight of Father Christmas in his sleigh, pulled by reindeer through the midwinter night sky, is a remnant of the shamanic flight of the soul that has come down over centuries in Anglo-Saxon countries. It's been said further that this image comes from the shamanism of the reindeer-breeding peoples of Arctic Europe and Siberia. Their shamans experienced what was known as soul flight through the action of the toxic principle in the mushrooms with their distinctive red and white caps, the same colors now found, as I mentioned, in the clothing of all the Father Christmas-type figures worldwide. Mythology has it that the mushroom grows after Wotan, also known as Odin, has ridden his white horse through the clouds, accompanied by the members of the wild hunt in the dark times surrounding the winter solstice. Whenever the sometimes bloody froth of Wotan's horse fell to earth, the fly agaric mushrooms would sprout. Compare this to the legend of Dutch Sinterklaas in his red cape, who rode around on a white horse that I referred to a moment ago. This legend of Wotan is echoed in Greek mythology that casts Zeus as the lightning thrower and considered the father of mushrooms. His thunderbolts fertilized the earth and caused the mushrooms to grow. In the folklore of the natives who dwell in Kamchatka in far northern Siberia, the fly agaric mushroom grew from the saliva of the creator where he spat upon the earth. In some folk vernacular, fly agaric mushrooms are called raven's bread. Ravens not only are age-old shamanic power animals, they also are messengers of Odin. There still are active shamans in those far northern places, and the raven is still a sacred animal to them. Great Raven, the cultural hero and animal helper of the Korjakan people, was the first to note the sprouting mushroom and ate one. At once he began to feel strange. He began to dance and became clairvoyant. He then commanded, "Let the fly agaric live forever on the earth, and let my children see what it has to show them." Well, let me take just a moment to explain the odd common name of this mushroom and the effects of its chemicals on humans. The fly agaric mushroom has been used as an insecticide in Europe. The dried caps were crumbled into milk to attract houseflies, which then became drunk and easier to dispatch. In humans, when as little as 5 grams or a single cap of the mushroom is ingested, the psychoactive chemicals may cause any of a range of symptoms within 30 minutes to 2 hours. These can include drowsiness, nausea, vomiting, and sweating, along with distorted sight and sounds, euphoria, dizziness, and convulsions, lasting between 4 and 10 hours. The effects are highly variable from person to person and from mushroom to mushroom, but deaths are rare, and none of these have been reported in the last century. The ethnic cultures that live in these far northern places live as reindeer nomads with no fixed abodes, wandering with their flocks across the frigid, windswept plains of that empty land. They and other northern Siberian shamans ritually ingest the fly agaric, known to stimulate auditory hallucinations that may be interpreted as messages from the heavens. The mental journeys are supposed communications with the souls of ancestors or other spirits. They lead to divination and may also be used to heal the sick. In humans, ingesting the mushroom heightens senses and creates visions of flying. Harvard biologist Donald Pfister points out, "Reindeers flying? Are they flying, or are your senses telling you they're flying because you're hallucinating?" he asks. Not only people, but reindeer eat the mushrooms as well. For the reindeer herded by the natives, these mushrooms are a delightful treat, and yes, they seem to experience some kind of intoxicating effect from ingesting them, but we aren't sure. Humans aren't the only animals that like to get high, either. Many creatures, from dolphins to bears and jaguars, have been studied, seeking out intoxicating substances in nature. The reindeer even can detect the presence of fly agaric when it's buried under snow. While no one knows for sure whether the reindeer are affected, or if the mushrooms simply taste good, but Sami shamans took fly agaric in their visionary rituals and even drank the urine from reindeer believed to be under the influence of the hallucinogen. Drinking the urine rather than eating the mushrooms themselves is safer because the potentially deadly chemical muscarine found in various poisonous mushrooms is absorbed by the reindeer's liver, while the psychoactive chemicals are passed out through the urine. This renders it safe to consume without intense stomach pains, nausea, or possibly even death. In a trance, then, the shaman would contact the great reindeer spirits. Despite the risks, people have been using these mushrooms as an entheogen, that is, a drug with spiritual purpose, since ancient times around the world. It has been speculated that the fly agaric may be the oldest entheogen or hallucinogen known to humans. That fly amanita has been used as a psychoactive substance for religious or spiritual purposes throughout Eurasia is well documented. As we have seen, there is strong evidence that this century-old use is responsible for the appearance in our modern Christmas tradition as including ornaments, the explanation for flying reindeer, and even a red and white clothed Santa Claus coming down the chimney with gifts. Wait, what? Where did climbing down the chimney come in? Well, the indigenous Sami people of northern Norway, Sweden, Finland, and the far northern areas of Russia commonly endure winter temperatures of 22 below zero and a lot of snow. They still herd reindeer, even today, and travel with the seasons. They share a language, history, and culture common to the whole area. The reindeer is intertwined with man and nature, and the Sami culture has its roots very far back in time. In an article from the Atlantic magazine, the abodes of the Sami people resemble very large teepees, even those today used by our Native Americans. On the winter solstice, the local shaman would visit the villagers. These men would perform healing rituals using the fly Amanita mushroom, a species so holy and revered that the shamans would dress in red and white clothing as well. But in the very heavily snow-covered winter landscape, people stocked up on supplies, knowing they could be snowed in and unable to enter through the doors of their teepees. Therefore, during such times, it was necessary for the shaman to enter the only other way possible, through the smoke hole at the top of the teepee. The families would give food and drink to the shamans in return for the connections made for them between the human and spirit worlds. Afterward, the shaman would leave the way he had arrived, up the equivalent of a chimney, and ride away on his reindeer-drawn sled. The fly agaric mushroom is found on all continents except Antarctica. Like some other mushrooms, this species forms complex associations with a variety of hardwood and softwood tree species, especially birch, pine, and spruce. As you may know, mushrooms are neither plants nor animals. They do not have roots, but form a network of hyphae, long thread-like filaments or tubes that branch out, creating a complicated expanding network called the mycelium. The mycelium has a symbiotic relationship with the trees, collecting water and nutrients from the soil in exchange for sugars produced by a particular plant or group of plants through photosynthesis. The fact that pine species are a primary partner to this mushroom species also suggests a reason for the use of pine trees in our Christmas celebrations and the reason for the mushroom on the branch. As we have discussed in the past, the fact that so many trees drop their leaves in autumn and seem to die led the ancient Druids and other cultures to a special reverence for evergreen trees and other plants such as holly and ivy that cling to their leaves and berries through the harsh winter. With all of that in mind, adding a fly agaric mushroom to our Christmas trees and other decorations seems fitting, don't you think? There is so much more that we could explore regarding the many interconnected myths and legends surrounding the solstice and Christmas. Many historians and anthropologists have a healthy skepticism about the shamanistic origins that we have discussed today. But it's fun to contemplate, and after all, isn't wonder and magic what Christmas is all about? This is Carol Kelly, Christmas Carol, this week, wishing everyone a wonderful holiday season and a bright new year in the green outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.